mark your books at number 912. I'm gonna put this close to my speaking voice. As you know, several months I haven't been able to talk well, and cough and things like that. I appreciate everyone's care and concern. Brother Rosa, I called on him to preach for me last Sunday. Appreciate that. I wish I had his voice. If I faltered this morning, Brother Rosa, I'll just have you just read my notes. It only takes about 3.5 minutes. My brethren always probably wish I could just read my notes and not ad-lib so much, but that's all right.
Amen.
I do have a doctor's appointment. People are asking about my voice. I do have a doctor's appointment this week, but I just can't talk loud. It gets hoarse too quickly. So I appreciate care and concern. So Jim mentioned my age. So if there's any time that you know, I'm getting older, my voice is getting weaker. So if there's any time that you can't hear me, kind of hold your hand up. It doesn't mean much because my eyesight's going too. I may not see your hand. But there is an outline that was in the foyer. I hope you received one when you came in. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson, as Rick so adequately said, we're going to talk about little things that are really not so little. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, by way of introduction, he said, For who has despised the day of small things? Meaning, things that we think are small are really large, but we think, oh, that's not significant, that's not important, that's of no count, so we kind of pass it off and don't want to do what we should do. We think, oh, that's just a small thing, let's just ignore it. So I'm going to look at some things this morning that are really big things. You know, someone said, and you're familiar with the phrase, the biggest obstacle is not the mountain ahead, it's that grain of sand in your shoe, just that little grain of sand, mess up a walk to the mountaintop. Some other phrases that people use is, you know, that's just a little dust in your eye, but yet it affects a lot. They say, well, that's a small splinter or just a small paper cut, but boy, it just affects everything. Or just somebody says, you know, I have a fly in my soup, and your partner will say, oh, but it's just a tiny fly. Just a little thing, just a little bitty fly, not a problem. Someone says, I'm just a little short on money. Well, that's a big thing. Or you try to jump a ditch, but you just missed it by a fraction. You know, that's a big thing. Fall into the ditch. But there's just some things that we sometimes think are small, but I want to have it impressed upon you this morning. They're really big things in life. It's easy to overlook small things. But to God and to other people, to family and friends, or people that we work with, they're really big things. I don't know who the author is, but they said, a smile is such a little thing, as is a word of praise. But each of them can warm a heart and make many happy days. A helping hand, a friendly wave, or just a kindly deed could lighten someone's burden or fill another's need. These are all just little things as we go along our way, but little things are big things if they brighten someone's day. So in your notes, you can see I've listed for you some little things that are really big to God. Number one comes from the text that was read to us. Just simple acts of kindness. The last phrase in Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind one to another. Be kind. I think first of all, kindness needs to be genuine, not superficial. You know, you've seen the person that we say, they're just all smiles. But on the inside, they're kind of selfish, or they're rude, or they have a haughty spirit, or they're filled with pride, self-service, and then they'll add to it, oh, they're kind, but in the worst sort of way. And we might, don't point, but we probably might think about somebody like that that we know. Oh, they're kind, and they certainly let you know it. Kindness begins with the way we think. Solomon said in Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you're going to be kind, it begins with thinking the way we think in life. You got to think kindness. Look for those opportunities for service. How can I help you? What do you need? Let me get that. As a man thinks in his heart, so already be thinking about different ways that you can be kind. It's not a little thing. It's a big thing. Kindness doesn't look for flaws. Kindness looks for virtues. You see, everyone has the ability, and you and I have the opportunity to be kind if you want to. And that's what I'm trying to impress upon you this morning. I want you to have a heart or an attitude of life that says, I want to be kind. I want to be kind. Kindness is not critical. It doesn't search for things to criticize. So I kind of put in your note, I hope you'll be kind to me when I'm not kind. I don't want you to always treat me the way I treat you if I'm not treating you correctly. Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 1, brethren, that's us. Someone's overtaken in a trespass. Someone's done something wrong to you. Whether it be in word or deed. You don't appreciate what they said or did. So here's someone who's been overtaken in a trespass. So you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. The whole business of going to one who has troubled us or put us in an awkward position, the whole purpose of going to them is for restoration. To restore friendship, fellowship. Restore such a one. And then he adds it, but in a spirit of meekness, because you also can be tempted. Then one day that situation might be reversed, and I'm the one that needs to be restored back. Oh, that's right. So I hope when we go to someone, it's in an act of kindness. 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 Kindness is a way of life. Kindness isn't turned on and turned off because of the occasion or the situation. I put in your notes, kindness is not a rule by which we live. Kindness is the life we live. That's our life. It's to be kind. Another poem, I don't know who the author is, but he said, something kind I meant to do, thought of it, but didn't do it. So there was a good friend who missed my flowers, but never knew it. I thought a letter I would write, wished I'd penned it. Now his soul has taken flight, and he never knew I meant to send it. Passed a good friend's house today. Could have stopped, but kept on going. What I had in mind to say, he can have no way of knowing. Didn't do the thing I should. Gifts and notes I never sent to friends to cheer them when I could. Wonder if they knew I meant to. Kindness. But you don't hold back kindness. How would someone know that you meant to be kind? So kindness, it's not a little thing. Don't discredit it or think of it as insignificant or not important. That's number one. Don't despise an act of kindness. Number two, familiar with in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, and I'll read the entire verse. But Jesus said, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water. Oh, a cup of cold water. Come on, just a cup. Gives to one of these little ones, only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple? A little thing. Yeah. But Jesus says, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Jesus is not asking us to solve world hunger, stop the war, fund a Goodwill Foundation. He just says in this illustration, only a cup of cold water, little thing. Just a cup. Just a cup. Don't despise that. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9, Hebrew writer says, beloved, that's us again. We're confident of better things concerning you and the things that accompany salvation. Oh, what's going on? Oh, thank you, God, I'm saved. Oh, but there's things that accompany that salvation. There's things that stand side by side. And so the author of Hebrews continues, and he says, for God's not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love in which you've shown toward his name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. Little thing, only a cup of cold water to help somebody. What can I do for you? How can I help you? What do you need? It's not a little thing. Don't despise that. Again, another poem. That isn't it amazing how a little drop of oil, makes the wheel run smoother and lessens sweat and toil. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how a little drop of rain lifts the drooping flower so it will bloom again? Isn't it amazing how a kindly word of praise cheers the heavy laden and helps the burden raise? Just a little act of kindness, just a cup of cold water, not a little thing. Number three in your notes, I put there's no small thing in the life of the congregation. Not a little thing. I just wrote some things down in my notes. It's not a little thing when you do the bulletin preparation. Now you get your bulletin, oh, that's nice, and you maybe take a glance at it, lay it down. It's not a little thing to produce that bulletin. Jim and Sharon did it for decades, and Martha's been doing it lately, and it's not a little thing. Communion preparation, yeah, we've assembled together, we observed the communion. Somebody had to make preparation for that, didn't they? Someone's going to have to clean up after that. Yeah, not a little thing. Building maintenance, oh, not a little thing. You know, we had someone else is taking care of that. Had a situation, you know, this week the fire marshal came down, didn't take long, but Jim met the fire marshal down here, made the appointment, came down 20 minutes, gone. Somebody had to come down and meet that fire marshal. You know, what about greeting visitors? Shaking hands and being friendly is not a little thing. Praying for one another, sending cards or making calls is not a little thing. Encouraging our youth. Do you know the names of our young people? It's not a little thing to learn their names. Taking someone to an appointment, not a little thing. Taking someone to the airport, picking them up, not a little thing. Greeting one another, it's not a little thing. Your attendance in the assembly, that's not a little thing. You know, if you're not here, you can't hear what I have to say. If you're not here, I can't hear what you have to say to me. That word of encouragement or an act of kindness. Your attendance is not a little thing. You think, oh, I'm not one that stands up front or leads in the assembly. Yeah, but your just being here is not a little thing. Yeah. You know, my granddaughters, they expect to see certain people when they come to the assembly. They already know some of you by name and by picture or by just in your sight? When they come, oh, I didn't see someone here. I was 4 years old and 7 years old. But there's an expectation when they come to the assembly. I'm looking for that person. And if they're not there, they're disappointed. It's not, your attendance is not a little thing. Not a little thing. Brother Rose filling in for me last Sunday, that's not a little thing. Dennis and somebody leading singing, as Jim mentioned this morning in his prayer, it's not a little thing. Teaching the classes, the different classes during the week, that's not a little thing. Who has despised the day of little things, Zechariah said in the introduction? Don't count these things as insignificant, non-important. Even the notes that I prepare every week, not, you know, it takes a while, but it's not a little thing. You know, I know brethren in this assembly that take those notes and they send them to either family or friends that are in other states. Years ago when Don Hines, and before his wife Bobby passed away, they would use these sermon notes as for their Bible study during the week. They would read the verses before and after the ones I've mentioned. I remember Jeff Erie saying he would take these outlines to work. Orby Mays, before he died, he would take these outlines and collect them for about a month and then put them together and send them to one of the missionaries in India. And they appreciated just a Bible, an outline for Bible study. That outline's not a little thing. No. Number four in your notes, I put just saying thank you. But we know it's not a little thing, is it? We need to say first, I said, be thankful to God for bountiful daily blessings. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You and I have been blessed by God. We've been given heavenly treasures. It's not a little thing. Say thank you. Thank you. Obviously, parents are careful to remind their youngsters to say thank you. You know, if you're standing and your small children are there and they receive something, boy, if they don't say thank you pretty quick, we're very quick to say, what do you say? What do you say? We want to teach them to say thank you. And you know, please, those magic words that we say, please and thank you. It's not a little thing. Parents recognize that. Teach that child. They're growing up. You say thank you. Thank you. And even if you've forgotten to say it, you'd probably think, oh, it's too late. You know, that what they gave me was months ago, or might even be a year or two ago. You know, and you think, oh, it's too awkward, too unnecessary, but you know, it's never, the phrase is never too late to say thank you. Even after a lengthy time, you need to say it because it lets the other person know that you still remember they gave me something. And even years later, they may remember, you never said thank you, but here it is 2 years later, you said thank you. Oh, wow, you still remember that gift I gave? I'm saying thank you. Number five in your notes is providing comfort to others in their affliction. It's not a little thing. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, beginning of verse 3, he begins by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's a good thing. Blessed be God. He's the Father of mercies and a God of comfort. There's the phrase. He's a God of comfort who comforts us in all our afflictions. Yeah, I'm hurting or troubled or distressed. God, help me. I need you again today. And then it says, God comforts us in all our afflictions that... God, why are you providing me comfort? That we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. God, I appreciate the comfort you give me. If I see someone else in distress, I'm going to pass that on. I'm going to give you help in time of need. I want to give you some comfort in your afflictions. I sure do. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, two are better than one. He gives you the reason. Why are two better than one? He said, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to pick him up. Woe to the one who doesn't have someone to give them comfort in their affliction. Woe to the one that doesn't have a companion or someone to care. So it's not a little thing for you to care for one another. It's not a little thing for you to make that call. What do you need? How can I help you? Let me get that. It's not a little thing. Don't despise that. Number six is hospitality. Look at the clock. It's not a little thing to look at the clock. Is it, Brother Rowan? I gotta look at the clock. Hospitality. Obviously, by church leaders, there's a qualification in Titus chapter 1, verse 8, that they are supposed to be given to hospitality. Oh, but what about us? See, I'm not in a leadership role in the congregation. Well, Peter takes care of that. In 1 Peter 4, verse 9, it says, be hospitable to one another. And then he adds, without grumbling. Oh, that's kind of not a little thing to be hospitable. Hospitable. Years ago, I read a phrase, in fact, decades ago, but Diana Carroll's mom, Jean Carroll, I gave this phrase in a lesson on hospitality. I said, if you want to see my house, make an appointment. If you want to see me, you're welcome anytime. And Jean Cross appreciated that phrase so much, she repeated it back to me every so often. She said, oh, I like that. If you want to see my house, make an appointment. I'll tidy up a little bit and put this away and straighten that up. But if you come to see me, come on in. You're welcome anytime if you come to see me. Hospitality, it's not a little thing. Not a little thing at all. And what about your talent? What about your talents? Man, when Jesus told the parable, he mentioned, oh, here's one with five, here's one with three, or here's one with just one. Oh, don't despise that. And that was the lesson of the parable of the talents. Oh, the one who had only one talent. Oh, look at the guy with five. Or the lady with five. I can't do that, what he or she's doing. But I only have one. Don't despise that. Don't despise the one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31, likens our talents, you know, to the body here, to our physical body. And it's all by God's design. And he says, just as our physical body has all these different parts, and each is designed differently, and each has a different function, none may say to the other, I don't need you, was Paul's illustration in the text. And then he said, if one body part suffers, they all suffer. And boy, that's the truth. You ever stub your toe? And then the whole body cringes. But it was just a little toe that was stubbed. Yeah, but it affected the whole body. And that's what should happen in the congregation here. If one of us stumbles, or one of us is hurt, or even occasion of rejoicing goes both ways, we need to share in that. It's not a little thing. Not at all. Another poem. Just an ordinary member of the church, I heard him say. So just an ordinary member of the church, that's all I am. I heard him say. But you'd always find him present, even on a rainy day. He had a hearty handshake for the stranger in the aisle. And a friend who was in trouble found sunshine in his smile. When the sermon helped him, he told the preacher so. And when he needed comfort, he let the elders know. He always gave so freely, tried to do his share in all of the ordinary tasks for which some have no care. His talents were not many, but his love for God was true. His prayers were not public, but he prayed for me and you. An ordinary member? I think I would say he was an extraordinary member in a humble sort of way. Yeah, don't despise one talent. Don't have someone here say to someone over there, you know, I don't need you. No. We need each other. And the last thing in your notes, I put no such thing as a little sin. No such thing as a little sin, just a little. Ought to be obvious, shouldn't it? No such thing as a little sin. They have big consequences. Even the little ones, as we say, oh, that's just a little one. Oh, but oh, it's big. In Genesis 3, verse 6, Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the forbidden tree. Oh, just look, they just had the fruit of the tree. What's the problem? Oh, but they were cast out of the garden. In Numbers chapter 20, verses 8 and 11, Moses hit the rock instead of speaking to it to bring forth water. That's it? He hit the rock instead of speaking to it? Moses, you can't lead Israel into the promised land. I'm going to have you die before you cross, before Israel crosses the Jordan River into the promised land. Joshua's going to lead them. I just hit the rock instead of speaking to it. Little thing. 2 Samuel 6, verse 7, Uzzah touched the ark of God to keep it from falling off the cart. Uzzah, you shouldn't do it. Only the Levites were to touch the cart, touch the ark of the covenant. But it was falling. Yeah, no, you should just let it fall. Only the Levites touched the ark. And he died. I was helping. Just a little thing. Cost him. The Bible warns about small things. In 2 Kings 10, verse 18, Ahab served Baal a little, just a little, but it caused all Israel to commit idolatry because he was king, and they followed his lead. Oh, he just served Baal a little bit. Yeah, that's a problem, huh? In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, it said, catch the foxes, the little foxes. Oh, just the little foxes. But they spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Oh, but they're just little foxes. Not a problem. Yeah, it's a problem, huh? In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, it says, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment, and he causes it to give off a foul odor, and so does a little folly to one who's respected for wisdom and honor. Just a little folly? Yeah, but it has big consequences. But just a little. First Corinthians 5, verse 6. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Just a little leaven? Leavens the whole lump. Just a little leaven. I've always heard that a box of rat poison is only 2% poison, and the rest is good food. Good for the rat. Talk to you. But a little poison? Just 2%? A little bit? Kills the rat. I've heard just a little arsenic in your coffee can kill you. I don't recommend that. Just a little. That's the lesson today. Just a little. Little things, they're big things. They have big consequences. And so in your closing and your notes, your decision to become a Christian is not a little thing. It's not a little thing. That's why Peter, in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, when Jesus was crucified, all these devout Jews are in Jerusalem from every nation to celebrate this feast day. And Peter uses that opportunity to preach a message about the crucifixion of Jesus. And in Acts 2, verses 20 through 22, he says, you, those religious, devout Jews, the devout people, he says, you, by wicked hands, have crucified and slain the Son of God. In verse 36, he says it again. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And then the Bible continues, when they heard that, they're cut to the heart. Oh, they're thinking, what did we do? They're convinced that they've crucified the Christ. They've murdered the Messiah. So they cry out, is there any hope for us? What shall we do? And Peter, along with the rest of the apostles, said to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. because to you is the promise, and to your children, and all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then it said, with many other words, he testified and he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Good King James word, an untoward generation, meaning they're not living toward anything that's of eternal value. You're an untoward generation if you're not a Christian. You're not going toward anything good. So he says, he testified, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Verse 42 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, it says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Back in verse 41, those who gladly received his word and were baptized. That's the message that we mention at the close of every lesson. So your decision to become a Christian is not little. It's a big one. It's a big one. It has eternal consequences. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. It's a song of exhortation. If you're subject to it, if you've not been baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that this morning. So let's stand together, and Dennis will make his way to up here, and we'll lead to sing this invitation song. And again, if that's your resolution, if that's your desire or your resolve, just simply let it be known at the close of this song.